Hey guys, I'm Chance Frazee. I'm an alcoholic. So it is my privilege to have this gentleman here tell his story. I haven't heard it, and I believe it might be your first time telling it, so that's good. And Jamie, he's in my home group, so he's got a really good home group. He's got a really good sponsor. I know him because he's mine too. He's got a good program, and from what I understand, he's been in a while, but I think just now he's starting to see what it's like all the way in the program. So without further ado, here's Jamie.
I'm Jamie, an alcoholic.
Amen.
Friday date, February 27th, 2018. Had a few of them dates. That was my last one. Got a home group. It's focused on solution group on Tuesday night. My church. And got Errol as a sponsor. Nervous, of course. This is my first time telling my story. I've mentioned this before in the meetings. I was born an alcoholic. Okay? When I was an infant, I would hold my breath till I passed out when I didn't get something I wanted. When I just hold my breath and scare my mom to death. And, you know, I wanted what I wanted when I wanted, you know. And that's kind of how I lived my life for a long, great many years. Is I didn't, if I didn't get what I wanted right away, I pushed my way through it. You know, eventually, I would get some sort of what I wanted. You know, starting as a kid, I just didn't fit in. I just, you know, I was born in Louisiana, lived in a small town, small neighborhood, and just didn't fit in with anybody. I still remember the memories of me sitting up at night in bed thinking, now, what can I? There's got to be something I can do to fit in, to make these people like me more. Do what, you know, just them thoughts, you know, all the time. Did great in school. I was a good student. You know, things came easy to me, and as far as school work and stuff like that. Straight A student. You know, went all through. You know, up until middle school, and that's when I moved here to Georgia when I was in middle school. That kind of gave me an opportunity to reinvent myself. You know, when I moved here to Georgia, and I was a straight A student, I was a good kid. You know, in Louisiana, we just run around, do what we wanted, to be back by dark. I mean, that was kind of the deal there. You know, we ran around in the woods and did what we wanted to. I got here and got more of a city type living with some more people, and I guess bad influences. I was probably more of the bad influence, you know, but like I said, I just changed who I was completely. You know, I was a bad boy, and I could be whoever I wanted to be. You know, none of these people knew me. Now, this was my opportunity. And that's what I've done. I've been horrible in school, getting in trouble, getting in fights. You know, but I had some attention. People were looking at me. You know, I was a new kid. I had a funny accent. You know, so, you know, I love it. You know, I just ate that up. Somewhere along that line is when the first opportunity I had to drink alcohol in any amount. I drank a beer here or there when we were kids. We'd sneak I had an older neighbor, and he, you know, sneak one of his dad's little pony beers, and then little slits, little pony. So I drank already. Probably had drank before that. The first opportunity I had to really drink some alcohol was a bottle of vodka in a fridge. We had a bunch of kids together, parents were gone, and everybody took a shot of vodka, and, you know, I liked that. You know, that first one, I liked that. And next thing I know, I'm back in the fridge. You know, I'm doing another one. Like, I like that even more. You know, two's good, three's better. You know, and wind up getting drunk. I mean, wind up, you know, even after drinking liquor, I was probably 12 years old at the time. You know, and drinking that liquors in that amount. You know, I didn't know the wait a few minutes between shots. I knew it made me feel good. So another one right now has got to be better. So that was probably the moment I knew that was going to be my deal. I liked to drink. That, you know, I was good at it. I could drink a lot. Backing up a little bit, my father was an alcoholic. I don't have many memories of it because he got sober when I was like 5 years old. You know, he got sober and it started a chain reaction in my family. He got sober when my uncle got sober, my grandfather got sober, and so the whole family sobered up in a few year period. And I've got, you know, some few memories of that, but I was real young at the time, so. You know, that didn't really play in. I can't say I had a horrible childhood. I had a great childhood. I don't have any bad memories, you know, from my childhood or anything like that. I know evidently there were some bad times because, you know, my dad got sober. He was 25 and he got sober. But that also put a head full of AA in my whole family and my mom and everybody else. So it made I've done figured out alcohol is my deal. That makes this a little more complicated. Because I came home drunk the first time, okay, my mom just lost it. You know, she seen the writing on the wall right away, you know. And that's kind of was the story of my teen years for sure. I think I was probably 14 is when I ended up in rehab for the first time. You know, I ran away, and it really, I drank. My drinking wasn't frequent then. When anytime I had a chance, I drank, and I drank big, you know. But just my behavior mainly was my main deal there. I was tired, man. Making teachers cry, you know, just mean. I was just mean. I was a mean person, a selfish person. You know, I said I wanted what I wanted right then, what I wanted. So I ended up in rehab my last 14. That's when I got introduced to AA, made some meetings, and probably knew then. I knew then I was an alcoholic. I wasn't going to concede to it. You know, to me that was kind of my when the battle began. You know, I was like, I'm smarter than this. I'm better than this. I can figure this thing out on my own, and nobody's going to be able to tell me how to do it. That continued, moved to Kennesaw about not much longer after that, about 15 years old. I started high school in Kennesaw. And that's about 15 when I had a neighbor across the street. They were older. They were about 10 years older than me. So they were in their mid-20s. They liked hot dogs and all kinds of working on cars and stuff. And that was me. You know, I was there all the time. And my drinking became more frequent then. You know, I had more opportunity. My mom's still raising hell, but I didn't care. I didn't care who it hurt. Once that first drink hit my lips, I mean, I was a different man. So it didn't matter, you know, who I was hurting. I never looked back and seen that, you know, how I was affecting the people around me. But I started drinking a lot more frequently, you know. I always managed to keep things together pretty good. Never had any DUIs. Never got arrested on anything drinking related, anything like that. But I was always the last one at the party, you know, digging in the bottom of the cooler. You know, even when I'm drinking with people 10 years older than me, and I'm out drinking these guys. You know, that should have probably told me something then. I don't think I didn't really do anything with AA in that period. I worked and made good money, and I said just raised hell, party, and just did what I wanted to. It was around that time I met my wife, Nicole. We've been together ever since. So amazing woman out there to put up with me all these years. So I had already established my drinking career before I was even old enough to drink, you know. I'd say my late 20s, I was working all the time, and we, you know, had several bars in Marietta that served me I never got carded, never anything like that. So, I said, we drank, regularly, drinking and driving frequently. I said, don't know how I got away with that so many years, but it just wasn't God's plan for me, I guess, I don't think any consequences like that would have affected me. I don't think it would have changed my path much. I was always the type of person when things got tough, that was my deal, When things are going bad and it's chaos, I can shine. I can look, I'm ready for this. That's where I live. I live in that in my head every day. So, when everybody else is struggling, that's me. I love it. By this time I got married and had our first kid. I was 19 when I got married for a time. And I'd say that's when it started to become a problem. Now I've got responsibilities. I got people that depend on me, and I can't do exactly what I want to do when I want to do it. And that causes an issue. Had several incidents where it was always that one drink. I could drink up to a point, and I never knew which one it was. That one drink that I would change, man. It was like flipping a light switch. I just become a monster, and I never knew. Now, but that, and I spent years chasing it, finding that tipping point. If I could stay below that tipping point, then I can carry this deal out for a long time, But once I'm over that tipping point, all bets are off, That continued for a number of years until my wife and my family got fed up with it. Had young kids at the time. And I decided to hang it up. I said my dad was in AA and all that. So did 90 meetings in 90 days. Got feeling better. Had a sponsor. I can't even remember his name. So I'm not even sure who it was. I worked for a few steps, got feeling better, and then kind of got my attitude back. But I got this deal, and I'm a pretty stubborn, pretty bullheaded person, and if I put my mind to something, I can do it. And I've always been that way about everything. Don't tell me I can't do something, you're in trouble. It's gonna happen. I'm gonna make it happen one way or another. That started a 10-year period of my life I didn't drink. Was not sober, but I didn't drink. I just put a bunch of things in my life. Busy. When I look back on it today, I'm like, how in the world did you do that? I was running a business. I was coaching two soccer teams. I was the president of the soccer club, was racing. When I wasn't having anything to that, I was racing. There was never a minute of the day from the time I got up to the time I went to sleep that I had time to think about any of that stuff. So, I just substituted alcohol for being busy. Everything I did, I said, was just to keep me out of this head. It's a dangerous place for me to be. And did that for a while. I don't know if that wasn't worse, than me just drinking. I don't know if it probably prolonged it a little while. It probably, took me longer to get better by doing that. I look back on them days and think of how I interacted with people and how I did things. And it was horrible. I would hate if I was encountered a guy like that today, it would be a problem. Because I got my way. No matter what, I got my way. Whether it was right or wrong, you know, good or bad, once I decided I wanted something, I was going to get my way. You know? And that character defect also was an asset at times. I've said that before, that some of these character defects serve us well. You know, some of them are a little harder to get let go of because they serve us well. You know, I've made a lot of money. I've done a lot of things by lying and bullshitting my way through, you know, in a situation where I had no business, you know. But I always had that attitude that I was going to get this done no matter what. Looking back on it, being honest with myself, I was scared to death. I mean, I've been that way since I was a kid. Fear has run my life. So I was scared to do something, but I was scared worse if I didn't do it, how you were going to think about it. You know? So that drove me, like I said, I was always the one, you know, no matter what, you know, I'm going to do it. You know, whether it comes, you know, in all aspects of my life. Never held back on anything like that and put myself in some pretty dangerous situations a few times. So all a learning curve to me. So I get older. I'm in my late 20s. I'm 30. I don't even like to think I'm even as old as I am. I don't feel that old. But when things start winding down, I'm starting to get back in my head, you know, about things. Giving myself time to feel that, you know, that uselessness and self-pity and stuff like that. And my mind starts playing tricks on me. And I start, you know, justifying, well, I ain't drank anything in 10 years. I was pretty young when I quit drinking. You know, I could probably drink again. I know better. I've grown up. I'm better now. You know, when I was younger, admitted I was an alcoholic, but I never admitted I was powerless over it. You know, I just thought I had to learn how to be a better alcoholic. You know, y'all just couldn't handle your liquor, but I knew how I could do it. Y'all didn't. So I think it was a soccer related event that the opportunity came around. They were serving alcohol, you know, free beer, whatever. I thought, yeah, I drank one beer. I'm like, that's no problem. Didn't drink nothing else for weeks or months after that. Had one beer, you know. Had to, you know, convince myself that I could do this, you know, that this was nothing. That kicked off a period of me hiding drinking for a while, you know. Certain events, you know, stuff like that. I was always on my wife to drink. I always wanted her to drink because if she had a drink or two, then I could sneak to the bar and grab me one and her not know about it, or at events of the house, you know. I could sneak and drink and do all that. And I would buy the O'Doul's. We have a Christmas party. I'd buy the O'Doul's, pour them all out. Fill them back up with regular beer. And I drank my old boo. You know? Hey, smells like beer, looks like beer, don't nobody know no different. I said just stuff like that. There was old cars we lived on some family land and we had several old cars in the back. And I'd like to have some pictures of them things. There was beer can stuff in every nook and cranny and corner. You know, as far as I could hide them. And then when all that got full, they're just sitting in there. You know, there's no more room to put them. I said, but I did that for a good while with hiding it. And till I could, you know, get up the courage to, well, I'm sure my wife knew I was drinking, but I thought I was still hiding it. So I didn't want, you know, still wanted to keep it out like that. So finally, it was time for me to I'm going to tell the whole family I'm back drinking. I'm fine. I can handle this. You know, it's no big deal. And I'd say I was successful at some points in doing that, you know, but man, that was hard. That's the hardest thing I've ever done, is to try to drink like normal people. You know, I never wanted to do that, ever. You know, it was always a, you know, and I set all these benchmarks for myself on my drinking, okay? I'm going to drink. If it gets where I'm planning, you know, stuff around my drinking, you know, I had all these stuff, then I got to slow down. And I did that for a while. My drinking would escalate, and I would back off a little bit. It escalated, I'd back off a little bit. But the whole time, it's, you know, mentally, it's killing me. Because I'm getting closer to that decision that I can't do this. You know, and I don't want to admit that. That's the last thing I want to do, is admit that I'm powerless over that. You know, I've been able to do anything I've set my mind to my entire life. And this one thing, I can't do it, you know. And I mean, that was rough on me. That ego, having to squash that ego was a big deal, you know. Like I said, at this time, my life got, I guess, easier. I got a job. I didn't have a responsibility. I didn't have a business to run. My kids are grown. My wife working, so my financial responsibilities aren't quite as much. So it allowed me some more time in this head right here. And that turned out to be an issue. I was still hiding my drinking from most people around me. I believe somebody told on me, told my mom one time. Got my mom back involved in it. Like I said, well, she was diehard. She was really into Al-Anon and stuff. And when I was younger, and she's a tough woman. You know, she don't take no crap. You can't BS her at all. I can't anyway. I don't know if anybody else can, but I can't do it. Probably my kryptonite as far as all that goes. You know. And my dad, of course, he understood. He knew. And my mom jumped up and down on him to help me, and he knew. He ain't ready. You know, it ain't going to happen. I don't even get sober yet. Everybody says to stay drunk way too long, but I've already been sober for 10 years, so I got everybody beat. I've been sober already. This is the point that it really started to get on me hard, mentally, and that mental obsession. And I can remember the feeling, you know, I was drinking every day by then, and a normal day is 12-pack. I mean, that's just a normal day. That's just maintenance drinking. But them days, I knew when I cracked that first beer, usually in the truck on the way home, I usually didn't wait till I got home. There was days that I knew that it was going to be one of them nights. You know, so it had that kind of hold on. I knew before that first sip hit my lips that this was going to be a barn runner, you know. Usually I still only drank 12-pack because that was my limit. I set myself a limit. It's either 6-pack or 12-pack. At a 6-pack, when I need to back off drinking, I'd drink 6-pack a night. When I was doing okay, I'd drink 12-pack a night. And on them nights, I'd just put a shot of liquor in between the drinks. So I'm still only drinking a 6-pack. With shots in between it, you know. Every time we went out and went somewhere and done something, it was the same deal. You know, no, I ain't going to drink too much tonight. That meant I drank 4 or 5 beers, a couple of shots before we left the house, you know. And then I'd do the same thing. I'd run, even when we go out to eat, I'd have a tab at the bar. So I was sitting there drinking my beer, my one beer at dinner, And every time I can go to the bathroom full time, you know, and drink and get a shot of liquor, you know, passing by the bar every time. You know, same when we was out somewhere, if I had, every that was kind of my MO, you know. I'd come back with us a drink, but I've got a couple shots at the bar every time I went back, you know. I said, this is when it kind of stopped working. You know, I had a small period where I'm like, I got this, you know, back to drinking, got the wife off my back. As long as I do certain things, I kind of know what I got to do to stay out of trouble with everybody, that I can continue this for a while. Well, the alcohol quit working. You know, and that was terrifying to me. Is that this medicine's not working like it used to. I still feel horrible while I'm drinking. You know, it's just not fun. It stopped being fun at that point. And was just maintenance, you know. I don't remember when the first time, I'd say it's happened for you, but the first time I got up in the morning and I had to have a drink. You know, physically, I could not go through the day without drinking right then and there. You know, this wasn't wait till I got home anymore. This was I got to have a drink now to get moving, to get going. I'm not going to be able to function today. And there were several times I'd spend a couple of days in bed. You know, I'd plan trips to my either racing or going hunting or something like that, where I'd just kill it all weekend, and I don't have to spend 2 or 3 days in bed just to recover from it, you know. Physically, it's getting on me. You know, I'm starting to get a little bit older, and physically, it's starting to wear on me. And I ignored all that, you know. I've had stomach ulcers and the high blood pressure, you name it. In this time, I've had some back surgery, some back issues. I had 2 back surgeries. Over like 4 years, I've had 2 back surgeries, so I was on pain medicine for a good amount of time. That's part of my story, and what it did for me was help me keep drinking. That was my excuse. It kept people off my back longer. If it hadn't been for that, I'd have to explain why I was drunk every night. I'm drunk every night because my back hurts. That's why I'm drunk. You know, so like I said, it was an excuse. It kept me drinking a little bit longer. About this time, I get a phone call from a friend, that a mutual friend of ours is having a rough spot drinking. I wonder if I'd go talk to him. Because at this point, everybody still assumed I was sober. You know, so I think I shared this a long time ago. It's rough having to stay sober to go do a 12-step call. So I go and I'm going to meetings. So this guy's drinking before the meetings. I'm taking him to meetings. He's drunk. I'm wanting to be drunk. You know, I got to get him there and get him back so I can get me a cold beer on the way home. It was kind of rough. That was about the same time that this guy right here starts bugging me about a sponsor. Who's the sponsor? Who's going to get him? Every time I've seen Earl, he's bugging me about a sponsor. I'm like, man, get this guy off my back. So, like I said, but that, you know, that really got me thinking about, you know, what's my purpose in this whole deal? What's my purpose in life? You know, is this it? You know, I thought I was at the point in my life that I had everything I wanted. Financially, my wife then left me alone. She was sick of it. She didn't want to fight about it anymore or anything. She'd drink, do what you want to do. Like I said, financially doing well. Thought I had everything I ever wanted, and I was the most miserable I had ever been in my life. I mean, suicidal. I'm going to be honest with you. Every time I drank like that, I wanted to die. I really did. You know, I did not want to wake up and do it again. And it just wouldn't happen. You know, I couldn't drink enough. And like every morning, it started back up again. You know, I was tired of it. And when that opportunity came about with a friend of mine, it really got me thinking about, is this what my, you know, what I'm meant to be? That's not who I wanted to be. I felt like I'd been given a lot of opportunities and was just drinking it all away, you know. So I got sponsors before. I always pick out the coolest guy in the room, a biker, somebody I thought I could push over or whatever, you know. So that guy that was bugging me all the time came to mind, you know. And I was drunk when I called him, you know, asked him to be my sponsor when I was drunk. And he agreed, he said, I'll be a sponsor, there's going to be some stuff. And I was truly, honestly, at that point, willing to do what it took. I got my time back up a little bit. And that morning I prayed. I really sat down and prayed for God to help me with this and take this from it. And haven't craved a drink since then. I haven't had a physical craving for alcohol since then. Which I skipped it, but I've had that experience before. And squandered it. You know? But God, I took the obsession from me and I just used it as a band-aid, and I went out and convinced myself to start drinking again. So at that point, I became willing to do what it took to get sober and to get honest with another person and do what I was told to do and put my ego aside. All this stuff was real hard for me at first, to not have to have all the answers. You know, at first, a lot of this stuff seems just like climbing a mountain, but once you do it and you're in the program and you're working the steps, it's really pretty easy and pretty simple. Okay, the way I feel, it's doing a few things every day to maintain that spiritual maintenance. But like I said, all these things seem like mountains. I make them seem like mountains when I'm coming up to them. And when I get done with them, it's not really that big a deal, you know, and wanting to be a better person. And not having to have all the answers. That's so relieving to me that I can pause today. I don't have to immediately answer something. I don't have to know. Before I come up with something, I'm going to tell you an answer. No matter what you ask me about anything, I'm going to tell you an answer, and I'm going to believe it myself to be true. And you're going to believe it when you leave. I'm going to convince you of it. Some things that have been different this time is my sponsor and working with a sponsor and being honest with a sponsor and doing that. We have a good group of guys. I mean, our meeting is, I praise that place. It's awesome. We have a good group. I've got a good base of people that I can lean on at any time. And once I allow myself to be in that, you know, it's an awesome feeling to know that, you know, no matter what, and honestly look at these things and see, you know, what these people have. One of the people that Earl was pushing me for was Doug. And at first I was like, no way. That's too much AA right there. I was like, I don't want to be that sober. You know? But now I look at somebody like him and some of these other ones we've got around, and it's inspiring to know, and it gives me a goal. You know, before it was, I was trying to avoid them kind of people because I guess in my heart I really didn't want to quit. I wasn't ready. But now, like I said, them people, that's who I want to be. You know, that's where I want to end up in life, and I see what these people have. My relationship with my family, my wife is so much better. It's not all easy. It's some adjusting, you know. We've talked about, you know, I'm different. You know, I'm a different person. I'm different than I've ever been. I've been an alcoholic since I was born. Okay? So it's some adjusting for everybody around, but it's easy stuff. I said 99% of it's on my part is acting right and expecting things of, you know, not trying to expect results or not being results business, period. You know, just leave it to God and be okay with whatever happens. And it amazed me how little I had to do. I thought I controlled everything. The whole world revolved around me, and that y'all are all going to be in trouble if I quit doing this. And that wasn't the case. You know? I could sit back and do nothing, and everything just keeps on going. You know, like I said, that's a good feeling, not have to be in that place. You know, this week having to come speak tonight, kind of dealing with a little bit of that, you know, all week, and talking to my sponsor about it, about getting in your head and, you know, planning everything. And, you know, anything I planned, if nothing came out with us that I thought I was going to say anyway. So, it turned out for the best, you know, follow the instructions I was given, you know. Not plan anything, don't write anything down, just jump in and speak your mind. And I've got enough material for several more talks. I've skipped a bunch of stuff. So, with that, I want to thank you. I want to thank Chance for asking me to speak. I want to thank all y'all for showing up tonight. Thank you. All right. Yeah.